Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Bully and Hall, live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
You know, he wasn't out here. And again, for us, we're out here practicing. And as everybody knows, it's a mandatory mini camp. And he's not here. But we did have a discussion with him yesterday. And obviously, I'm going to keep that between us. But we do expect him to be at training camp, rocking and rolling there at training camp.
Is that an excused absence?
No, this is a mandatory mini camp for us. So I think that I'm just excited about all the guys that are here.
Wow. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And Olin Kreutz is sitting in for David this morning, kind enough to join us. And Olin, that's interesting to hear that question from Big Z and that response from Matt Nagy. You can say a guy's not there, but you know, I want to talk about the guys that are here. Okay, but your alternate Pro Bowler, let's not get confused, decided not to turn. And don't think for a second, Olin, that I didn't catch that you referenced Jay Cutler as a guy that was a Pro Bowler, but as he was a fill-in Pro Bowl. He wasn't a six-time Pro Bowler like a certain center we know. Okay,
I'm just trying to bring a little credibility back to the game. Just a little credibility. Right. Everybody always talks about, you know, this guy's a Pro Bowler, but were they really, right? If you weren't announced on the first day, you're not really a Pro Bowler. But Eddie Goldman is an interesting story, man. And like we just heard after Biggs asked that question, this wasn't an excused absence. Coach Nagy, without, you know, running the bus over Eddie Goldman, basically said he wasn't happy about Eddie Goldman not being there. They didn't see him last year, obviously, for very good reasons. Eddie Goldman opted out during a pandemic. I don't think anybody holds that against him. Starting to drag out here a little bit, though. I'm sure they want to see him at practice. But like we talked about earlier, the Bears can do a lot of things to get their eyes on Eddie Goldman. They can put people on a plane to go see him. They can put their D-line coach on a plane to go see him. They don't need him every day at these no-padded practices where everybody looks great against the trash can that is on the field in coverage, right, or the third-string running back coach who's covering people as a cornerback. So everybody gets open. They don't need all their coaches there. Get somebody on a plane. Go see Eddie Goldman, even Coach Nagy. That's how important, if you ask me, Mully, that's how important Eddie Goldman is. I'm the head coach. I get on the plane. I go see him. I go see where he's at, where his mind is at, what kind of shape he's in, and do I have to worry about it? And look, if you're Ryan Pace and their scouting department and the guy who puts the team together, I'm going to go see this guy because I need to know, do I need another nose guard? Do I have to worry about you? Do I have a problem? And that's really where this should start. It shouldn't be what is Eddie Goldman doing? It shouldn't be we're surprised he isn't here. We should already know that. We should already have a plan to counter that. And we should already have people in his house, in his room, talking to him and looking at him and seeing what he looks like workout-wise.
You know, it's – I don't know how to say this, but – the pandemic.
Just say it, man. Just say it.
I'll just say it like this. The pandemic is still ongoing. It has not ended. There is a vaccine out there, but there's also a Delta variation, which is a
man. How long you got this thing going for, Mully? Jeez, man, you gonna carry this thing out, man? This time, don't put me back in the depths. I thought we were coming out of it. Now you got variants.
I'm just saying that the Delta variants is what happened. It came out of India, and what's happened is that when you have groups of people that are not vaccinated, you can create a different version of the same illness. So COVID-19 is constantly changing. We see
not only a hamstring specialist. You are also.
I'm studying the data. Olin.
You're studying the data. Listen, I got to get on it.
But it is a pandemic, which means it is a worldwide issue. I'm just wondering if let's just say not everyone is vaccinated. Let's say that Eddie Goldman still has concerns. I mean, should they get a medical doctor on a plane out to see him? Should they have somebody that can give him research that tells him it's safe to come back? And we're talking about this in sports because baseball has lowered the they have a rate, 85% vaccination rate, where they're lowering all, mask wearing, eating in public, all this stuff. They make life easier for players. The Cubs can't reach that level in part because we've had Cub players come out. Anthony Rizzo is not getting vaccinated. We know Jason Hayward has not been vaccinated. There are other players that we know about. I believe Jake Arrieta has talked about it. And I'm not trying to play doctor, even though some players are. My point is simply, if you opt out 1 year, are you definitely opting in? You just go get the vaccine and opt in? Do we know if this is an issue, like a medical concern for the kid? Is this just simple? I mean, these are things we don't know, I guess is what I'm saying. But is that something that maybe you need to reassure him about?
Yeah, all very good points. And look, if Eddie Goldman, and he has a good argument, he's still worried about the pandemic, then this is an excused absence, right? This is. You can't force this guy to come to camp if he's worried about and he has things that he's worried about. If he gets COVID, something could happen to him. And as far as other players like Rizzo and Hayward not getting the vaccine, look, don't fool yourself that I was a former professional athlete. They have access to the best doctors in the world. At least in Illinois, they can talk to anybody they want. So they are gathering as much information as possible to make a very informed decision. They're not playing doctor. These players aren't. They are surrounded. I know for a fact from being played for the Chicago Bears, they are surrounded by very, very good doctors. They're collecting their own information. You could almost argue that as a player, as people who make money, their body is their business. The only chance they have to losing their career is not COVID-19. It's a bad reaction to the vaccine. As low as that is, that possibility is, it's the only possibility they have of losing or having a bad reaction to the vaccine to miss games or to miss a year and affect their career. So these are all very personal decisions that these guys have to make. And if this is what Eddie Goldman is deciding and he is worried about, like you're talking about, I think you said from India, you've done the data research.
Delta variation.
Variation, yeah. Yep. I think what you said, if he is worried about that, then that is a problem for him. And that is something that he needs to talk to the union, the league, and his team about. But it goes back to, if you're the Chicago Bears, you better damn well have a plan, and you should have already known that. Somebody should have been on the plane talking to Eddie Goldman about what is actually going on with him, because you know he's worried about this just from the fact that he opted out last year. You have to make sure that you're starting nose guard, that you're paying $10 million a year, that he is ready to go and he wants to go team-wise. No one holds it against him. No one in the world holds it against a guy if this thing is still bugging him, if the pandemic is still on his mind, if that's what it is, and we're just kind of reaching at straws here. We don't know that. We don't know for a fact why Eddie Goldman's not here. But we're saying if that is a problem for him, then look, this is probably an excused absence if that is his excuse.
Yeah, and they said it was not an excused absence. And the thing is, Olin, I think when we talked about this earlier, we did talk about this idea of, does Eddie Goldman love the game? Where is his passion for football? Does taking a year off change the way he thinks about it? This is all information the Bears needed to have. I mean, if you really want to criticize anyone, It's why didn't they know this? Why didn't they know if that's an issue, then they should have been able to figure that out. If it's about the you know, Delta variation, as you so profoundly put it, then they should know that. They should figure that out.
And then, and the thing is, they like to treat Halas Hall like it's Area 51, right? You go up there, there's 900 security guards, the building's locked down, no one ever leaves, like the zone read is some secret or something, right? Or like there's 100 people who want to get into that building. But what I'm saying is sometimes get in your car, leave the building, and go see a player who's that important to your team. Ryan Pace should I hope last night he was on his way. I know they have access to private planes up there. That's right. How much this team is worth. So if I'm Ryan Pace, or if I'm the head of pro scouting, and I'd have to go look up the guy's name, I think it's Lucas. I'm on a plane. I'm gonna go see Eddie Goldman. I walk into Ryan Pace's office, say, Ryan, I'm gonna check on Eddie Goldman. And like you're saying, Mully, if it is a problem, they have the best doctors in Illinois, in their building. They have the guys who run Northwestern Hospital. Put him on the plane too. They have the guys who run the response to COVID working for them in their building, helping, taking care of players. Put them on the plane and let's go see Eddie Goldman and see if we can't solve this problem.
You know, the other thing, and this is Bears related, but it's really about the Green Bay Packers, which is that Aaron Rodgers was doing a news conference yesterday, a Zoom conference for the golf match that he will be taking part in, and he was wearing an I'm offended T-shirt. And again, I don't know that he really is offended, but whenever a guy that is kind of holding out is wearing an I'm offended T-shirt, you can't help but notice, is that a less than subtle message that he is sending? And they joked with him about, like, oh, it's great to have you know, no issues in the off season, and he was you know, kind of playing along, yeah, it's no issues with my off season, ha ha ha. Meanwhile, they don't know what they're going to do in Green Bay. And we get into this conversation all the time. I'd be very curious to get your take on it. Is Rodgers a prima donna because he wants out of Green Bay, or is he just a guy that didn't get what he wanted and doesn't feel like he has a chance to win there? Or are quarterbacks now able to do stuff like that since we've seen it happen elsewhere?
Yeah, and I think Aaron Rodgers is a guy. I mean, if you look through just, you know, the rumors you hear about the history with his family and different people in his life, he seems to be a guy who's always offended by somebody. And this just seems what makes him tick, right? And eventually, if every relationship in your life falls apart, eventually it's your fault. But that's just the way Aaron Rodgers carries himself, it seems like. And he's on Jeopardy, and he's in the middle of a golf match with Tom Brady, and it seems like a pretty good life. Kudos to him for always finding that chip on his shoulder and finding someone to be pissed off at while you're living that life. I think I've seen him on Kauai, in Hawaii, sitting at bars and having a good tropical drink and just living a good life. So, look, Aaron Rodgers, I think his biggest problem is, to be honest, I think, you know, Mahomes is making close to $50 million a year. He's not anywhere near that. I think he liked the Packers to get him pretty close to that. And then I think a lot of his problems probably go away, right? It probably goes away there. I think everybody in the NFL is looking for a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. This offseason showed you that. And if I'm the Packers GM, unless the Seattle Seahawks are willing to give me Russell Wilson, I do not do anything with Aaron Rodgers, no matter how mad he is. He's going to have to show up and play for me this year, no matter what. No matter what happens there, you know, not even, I mean, Mully, I don't know how many first-round picks you would take for the MVP, for a Hall of Fame quarterback, but I'm not giving him up for first-round picks. I got to get myself another franchise quarterback, and I can't be sure that Love is the guy right now.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And I wonder, Olin, if indeed Rodgers somehow weren't in Green Bay, would the Bears look at their season differently? I mean, he's a guy that has dominated the Bears. He's been a real problem for them. And when you have a quarterback, the old adage is you begin the season at 8-8. Now, it no longer stands since there's 17 games. But you have as much a chance to win as anybody if you have a quarterback. What happens if they lose him? Does that change the way the Bears operate in their scheme? I mean, they're waiting for Fields, and everything's patient, and we don't care. Rodgers is gone. Oh, my God, let's go win the division. Does that mentality, is there a danger of that around the NFC, and particularly in the division?
Definitely. It changes those two games, right? I mean, you take the MVP of the league out. You could argue last year that them losing, who probably was a guy playing at the best at the left tackle position, them losing Bakhtiari cost them a trip to that Super Bowl, right? Because if Bakhtiari is there, Jason Pierre-Paul basically dominated, and that pass rush dominated the NFC championship game against the Packers offensive line. And Bakhtiari, I think he got hurt that week or the week before, tore his ACL. And you know, Bakhtiari makes $27 million a year at left tackle. He's pretty damn good. And you know, and I know, Mully, left tackle, quarterback, wide receiver. The Packers have those guys. They have very high quality players at those positions. Everybody's looking for these guys, right? And if you lose your the MVP of the league, it's going to be, you see what happened when they lost the best left tackle in the league. They look totally different. Now take the MVP of the league at quarterback out of that offense. And all of a sudden, LaFleur is not a genius in a Shanahan scheme anymore, right? You got to run the ball. You got to boot. All of a sudden, their offense could look a lot like when you watch when Mitch Trubisky running the outside zone boot scheme last year. Not very dynamic. Not too many guys can flip their hips, run to the left, and throw a 50-yard dart like Aaron Rodgers guys. Not too many guys can process information like Aaron Rodgers does. And when I say not too many guys, I mean like there's like two or three guys in the whole world like Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, will they be different? Would that be two more wins with the Bears defense? The Bears have a lot of questions, if you ask me, and it's not all of a sudden we just put a guy in there, Sean Desai, and a whole new coaching staff, and all of a sudden our defense is good, but they still got Khalil Mack. They still got Akeem Hicks, Roquan Smith, Danny Trevathan, Eddie Jackson, Jalen Johnson looked good at cornerback last year. So still a very good defense out there. But hell yes, the division changes if the Packers move on from Aaron Rodgers. And that general manager will be remembered as the guy who traded Aaron Rodgers for the rest of his life. So I don't know if he wants that.
Wow, that's great stuff. That's Olin Kreutz. We're going to bring in Ozzie Guillen. We'll talk some White Sox next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We are blessed to have the great Olin Kreutz, six-time Pro Bowler. No fluke about him, no doubt about it. And he's with us this morning, and wow, what a joy to welcome in Ozzie Guillen. Ozzie Guillen joins us on the Home Run In Hotline. Try your pizza on the grill this summer. Visit homerunin.com for unique grilling recipes and more. Ozzie, I've got one of those. Pizza bricks. You know, I'm going to put it out on the grill. You ought to come over. We'll have a pizza party. What the hell? We'll get some vodka.
Hey guys, good morning. Hey, you got to make me hungry. I even need breakfast yet.
come over. I'll break an egg on top of the pizza. That's fantastic stuff. Or we'll make, you know what we'll do? We'll have Olin come. We'll make a Hawaiian pizza. Anybody got any pineapple?
No, nobody likes. Hawaiians don't eat pineapple on their pizza. Let's just be honest about that right now. No, listen, I didn't even know they put pineapple on pizza until I got to Seattle. So Hawaiians don't eat pineapple on pizza. Let's get that straight right now over the radio.
Ozzie, the White Sox win a game yesterday. Once again, we know the formula. They are magnificent with their pitching, and Dallas Keuchel is great, and they hit a home run. And they are now, I'm going to be positive about it, I'm not going to say they're 6-19 when they don't hit a homer. I'm going to say they're 36-6 when they get a home run. So, Adam Engel, thank you.
You know what's funny? When you know how Jimenez and you know how Pantera on the lineup, all of a sudden this ball club doing this, it's kind of crazy. Last night we went through it. The night before we went through it to see. I tried to figure out how that happened. It's amazing. You know what I mean? And by the way, they don't have that many guys had more than 10 home runs. And they still contribute. Everybody, every night is somebody different. Starting pitchers, I keep saying that long time ago when I was a player, was managing, coaching. So you have a good starting pitcher, you always, always got to be on the game. And it's showing to, you know, this year, we see the lineup, it's supposed to be the starting lineup through the year. And the lineup they have right now is just completely different. Maybe only three guys still left there, three or four guys still left in the lineup. And they're still competing, man. They're still competing. They're still playing good baseball. It just everything started with the, you know, with the pitching staff.
Talking about that pitching staff, Ozzie, I mean, Keuchel was so impressive last night. How does a guy like that still do it in an era where everybody else seems to be throwing 99-mile-per-hour fastballs, and this guy throwing below 90? How does he still remain so effective?
To me, you can do 100, but you don't locate your pitch. You're going to have problems. You know, Keuchel throws strikes, locating his pitch very well. His cutter was amazing last night. It was when you throw cutter way into righty, the other side, you throw a little changeup out there. Surprised me. They didn't hit that many ground ball last night. But this kid, well, I just listened to him last night, what he say. I said, you know what? I'm happy the way I throw today, but I think I can be better on July, August, September. That's, you know, that sounds like, wow. You know, most of the pitchers say, maybe July, August, September, I'll be, you know, tired, or I try to come with a different pitch. This guy is stronger every outing. I'm glad he throws 7 innings. If you're pitching staff after the, you know, June, July, they start throwing 6-7 innings every night. You're in great shape because your bullpen is going to be healthy. Your bullpen will be ready to go every night. And that helped. That will help any ball club. And the White Sox doing that. You know, the White Sox doing that. Seemed like a T1, Tony La Russa, started fitting with the bullpen. I think it's it take a little while to figure out the guys because we have to know, you don't know everyone. All of a sudden, little by little, you know the guys, what he can use, when, and how, and that also will help.
And it'll help when Michael Kopech comes back. We know we've seen him warming up a little bit and doing some exercises, and he's got the hamstring, but he's ready to come back pretty soon, hopefully. How, you know, you told us earlier in the year that Kopech's been the best guy in the best pitcher you've seen in Chicago. Now, and I don't argue that, he's just been fantastic. You know, Stoney was on the other day, and we were asking him about Ketel Marte or, you know, and I don't think Adam Frazier would apply here, but if they had to make a move and someone like Marte were available, the first name they'd bring up is Michael Kopech. If you felt you could get a guy that could win a World Series, would you give up Kopech?
Nope. Because they never would have guaranteed me that. You know what I mean? Kopech is a number one, number two starter next year or year after. Marte, I don't know him that well, but right now, and you give me Otani and Trout, yes, I will do it in a heartbeat. But you don't give me, you know, I'm not trade that kid for anyone. I think it's going to be hard for the White Sox to do that. The name's got to be better. You know, there's another guy out there, Escobar kid, from he was the White Sox, now he's with the Diamondback. I think this kid is going to be cheap. I think he can help this ball club because he can play second and third. You know, I don't think the White Sox had to be in a hurry to make a trade just to make people happy and to make people talking about it, because I've seen that mistake happen a lot as you know, the organization will be desperate. All of a sudden, oh, we got to trade this guy because people are going to be happy. All of a sudden, things go backwards, and you losing one player is the key at the ball club. I think if you got to trade somebody, I think you have more ammunition out there to trade. But be honest with you, I don't know much about the minor league system. I don't know the players that well. But I think in the big league, I will say everybody's untouchable. You're not touching my kids in the big league like Rodon, Carpet, Crochet, all those kids, you know what I mean, C's. You're not touching those guys not right now because I think that's the future of the White Sox. And those kids are going to make the White Sox fan and the Chicago very excited about baseball. No, is I going to lose it? I going to lose it with the guys? We need somebody desperate. Offense. Our offense is very quiet. Yeah. We need Ethan to start swinging the bat. We need Jose to get better. You know what I mean? Those little three guys, they're winning without them having the production we thought they can have. And besides that, you know what I mean? I will trade later, maybe July 31st. But I hope. Okay. I hope Rick and Kenny, I know they know baseball in that particular scenario more than me. I don't think they're desperate about trading anyone, especially to win the division. No chance. To win the division, they should win the division by 10 games.
Wow.
You know, Ozzie, Major League Baseball came out. They're going to crack down on pitchers using different substances. We already seen Rays pitcher Glasnow, their ace, say that's part of the reason why he thinks he got injured, that he hurt his arm. I'm wondering, what do you think, what kind of pitchers do you think that'll affect the most? And will see a big change in pitching, and how will it affect these guys on the mound?
Be honest with you, I hate, you know, when baseball get better, people, fans back in the ballpark, people excited about baseball. We have something very good going on right now, and the commissioner and Major League Baseball is coming with a stupid thing every time. Listen, I'm against 1,000% cheating. I'm against that 1,000%. Okay, but when you go to do that, you can be doing that in the middle of the season. You can. This is you have to have common sense. I don't know those guys. I only have 7 grades. And I have more common sense in baseball. Those guys went to college, and they went to school, and those guys getting paid a lot of money to save baseball. You know what they do? They're not saving baseball. They come up with stupid rules, with stupid things. I think they feel like they're more important than the game. I swear to God, I'm very upset about this problem. First of all, I'm 57 years old. I play winter league. Everybody use something. I'd rather them to use pine tar than Vaseline, because Vaseline, they can slip away from your hands, can hit somebody, ball move a lot, okay? Speedball, same way. Cut the ball, same way. But you use something to grab the ball. If they want to do something about this drastic, make some stuff, anything. Go to the NASA, because this is a Major League Baseball now working with all the computer, all the bull crap. Go to NASA, say, NASA, can you make something sticky to make it legal? And all of a sudden, and you told the pitcher, listen, here it is. That's what you have to use. You use something else, you're done. Okay, how about this one? This is the worst thing ever. You get caught, you're going to be suspended 10 days, but we pay you. This is embarrassing. This is completely embarrassing. You know what I mean? It's just like... Guys, it's like I don't have any. I was thinking about it. Who come up with this idea? Who come up with this thought? Like, okay, you get suspended, but we pay you. That's ridiculous, and that's embarrassing for real. I'm a baseball man. Some people say, well, the commissioner. I say, no. I was in the minor league driving bus. I was in winter league driving bus. I don't make even half the commissioner make ever. And I put a uniform on. I went through strikes. I went through everything. When I see this thing happening, that made me upset. That made me sad. That made me puke seeing how they can destroy the game so far, and they try to make the game better. Oh, really? You try to make the game better? You do that, you have all winter to all the front office people, say, listen, this year we bore, we don't have nothing to do and talk. Okay, that's what we're going to do. And let the guys know early, okay, guys, listen, this is going to do it. This is a good thing. I think it's a good thing for baseball. And people say, well, there's a lot of strikeout because they swing up. They swing everything. They don't teach those guys how to swing the bat. Oh, it's a lot of it's not that many because they got a very bad hitter. You see lineups? Lineup is 120, 220, 119. It's not a pitcher's fault. It's just bad hitting. It's a bad hitting. terrible. Look at the White Sox. They're in the first place. Look at the Tampa Bay first place, and the best hitter they have is hitting 280.
Yeah. I don't know how they do it. They it's like smoke and mirrors. And now maybe the Glasnow injury is a bridge too far. Ozzie, we'll let you go. The thing that jumped out at me about what Major League Baseball is talking about is they're going to search players. And then if you go to the umpire and say, hey, I think he's using something, they go back out and search him. But they're going to be mad at you, and they're going to let you know if they think it's gamesmanship. Like you're trying to interrupt a guy's rhythm. You know, you need a second. So, hey, go out there and search him because, you know, we're just going to follow this guy up a little bit. The idea that they're thinking of that and none of the stuff that you mentioned is just almost comical.
Okay, I'll be honest. It's our manager and one of my players to go. I never did. I only checked one time. Harper, the punch tire was too low in the bat. I said, guys, just hit it there. You hit the ball there, and where his punch tire is, you will have broke his bat. And, you know, I mean, they make it a big deal. Then I got to come out. I told the umpire, you know, I told the third base coach, big deal. I said, listen, I don't care. I grew up when guys throwing punch tire, speedball, Vaseline. That didn't bother me. I got to hit 220 no matter what they throw me. No matter what they throw me, I'm going to hit 220. Then, it's the ball is juice. It's the ball is this. You know, every year they come up with something. It's just pathetic, and I hope they do something better now. Say, you know what, forget about what happened, what we say this year. We're going to start over next year.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's hard to do it in the middle of the season. Ozzie, thank you. Great stuff. We appreciate it, buddy.
Right,
great catching up with you.
All right, mate. All right.
Keep up the great work. That's Ozzie Guillen. Always a joy to talk to Ozzie. Olin, I want to talk to you about the offensive line. I've been saving this. I want to talk to you about Sam Mustipher in particular. I know you've worked with him. But just, you know, the questions they have on the offensive line. I think they have one guy where you're not, you know, if Cody Whitehair is a guard, you're not wondering what's going on. But I'll explain my thought next. It's Mully and Haw. We have Olin Kreutz. We'll talk some offensive line next on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Number one thing I've always learned is you keep your quarterback clean and you always keep him upright. No matter what you have to do, be dirty, throw, hold, whatever it is, what you got to do. If anybody hits my quarterback after a play, that's my problem.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. We are delighted to have Olin Kreutz with us, and we're going to tap into his knowledge. That's the voice of Tevin Jenkins. He was the second of the two players the Bears traded up for in the draft, and he is the left tackle. They're going to have him play left tackle, and it looks like they don't have a left tackle. So apparently he has won a job before he's even gotten going. But that's great. I mean, if he can do that, that's fantastic. I'm not sure the rest of the league thought he could do that because he fell to 39th, but that's okay. If the Bears believe that can happen, they will work to that end. But, Olin, it occurs to me as I look at the offensive line that – there are questions about everybody on it. And, I mean, obviously you start with Tevin Jenkins. That's a big ask of a rookie. You know, you talk about Cody Whitehair playing guard. I don't think there are huge questions about it. I think he's proven he can do that. If he has to play center, then we can have a conversation. James Daniels coming back from an injury. So I think that raises a question. And then Jermaine Ifedi, they brought back to play tackle. I think that's one worth discussing. And, of course, Sam Mustipher, and you know Sam very well. This is a young guy that former, you know, obviously great high school talent out in Owings Mill, Maryland. I've been to Owings Mill, Maryland, so I know they produce some tough players. That's not true. but I think he's a tough kid. Notre Dame captain, that speaks volumes. But, you know, not the biggest guy in the world, and you worry about him holding up over the course of an NFL season. Maybe you don't. Maybe you don't worry about that, but I think there are questions with all but maybe one guy on that offensive line, and that makes the whole unit a question.
Yeah, you're 100% right when you talk about the Bears' offensive line. There's a lot of questions and a lot of guys who have to raise their game so this offensive line becomes what the Bears want it to be. Everybody knows that Harry Hiestand has been and still is a very close friend of mine. So went down to Notre Dame a lot to help him while he was there, just kind of pop into camps and get to know the guys and, you know, do work with Sam Mustafa, also work with Alex Bars, have different guys through a gym that I have, that a private facility that I have up here near my house. And I work with these guys. And look, Sam knows what he needs to work on. His strengths, obviously, mental processing, getting guys lined up, his leadership ability. Coach Nagy said early in the year, early in this offseason, that he's looking for multipliers, and he thought that Sam Mustafa was a multiplier. And by that, he means, Mully, that he makes the guys around him better, that he leads them, that he gets them going the right direction. And if you are going with Justin Fields, a young quarterback, a center like Sam Mustafa, can really help out with his ability to get everybody lined up, organized, blocking the right scheme, picking up blitzes, things of that nature. So have a biased opinion on Sam Mustafa. Been working with him for almost 2 or 3 years now. Know him really, really well. But that doesn't mean that he doesn't know what his weaknesses are. It doesn't mean that he doesn't watch his film and know what he has to work on and get better at. And like you're saying about Cody Whitehair, when they moved him over to left guard, he really excelled last year. You could see that they took the calls out of his hands. Sam Mustafa did that for him, and that really elevated his game. So when you talk about a multiplier in Sam Mustafa, immediately he made Cody Whitehair better by letting him move over and just concentrate on playing guard, right? And James Daniels was playing at a high level. But like you said, when a guy comes back from injury, there's always a question mark there. There's always, you're wondering how he's going to come back. I think James is a young guy. I was really impressed with him last year, really impressed with the way he was playing. I thought he was playing at a high level. I thought he had a chance to be their first real Pro Bowl player in a while since Kyle Long went 1 year. Obviously, Kyle Long, a two-time alternate after that, but we won't talk about all of that. Kevin Jenkins is a question out there, left tackle. Would be interesting to ask Coach Nagy once Jermaine Ifedi comes back if Elijah Wilkinson is their starter or Tevin Jenkins in the same way you would ask about Andy Dalton and Justin Fields, right? They're going to make them earn those spots. Elijah Wilkinson, they picked up from the Broncos. He's more of a right tackle, if you ask me. The only guy it looks like on their roster who they have that can play left tackle, and it's a big question for me, is Tevin Jenkins. And then really, if you go through their roster, the next guy up at left tackle would be Alex Bars, unless you kick Cody Whitehair out there. Right. So like you said, Mully, a lot of questions out there. They like what Jermaine Ifedi did at the end of the year. But these are like, there's not like where you line up and say, man, we have nothing to worry about here, right? Only Cody Whitehair at left guard, maybe you could say that about. But every other position is a question mark. Juan Castillo got his work cut out for him. Assistant O-line coach Donovan Raiola. I know they're grinding in that building out there. I know this group is excited about this year. They like the way they work together. They like how close they are, which is a big part of playing offensive line. But for damn sure, and this is the problem, not a problem, this is a big thing in the Bears building that a lot of people should be talking about, is that developing players, getting them to take the next step, really is a huge key for this offense this year.
You know, when Mustafa, I think what happened last year is a really good example of a guy being a multiplier, because when he got in there, all of a sudden it seemed like things on the interior of the line toward the end of the season calmed down, and it became it went from weakness to strength, and that helped the guys outside as well. And all of a sudden, the running game's working. Now, I mean, you can say there was a change in the schedule, and they had a series of games that were very difficult and then some easier games, but you saw it, and you saw improvement from the team. I just wonder if what we saw is sustainable, if it is something that will just continue to get better with more playing time, or and they had a lot of guys come in and out of the lineup, and that is really difficult for an offensive line. Hard to predict health in the NFL, but it is something that is often determinant, especially when you're talking about a group that has to be as synchronized as an offensive line.
Yeah, and, you know, Bobby Massey goes down again last year, and then come out of bye week like you're talking about. They made changes, inserted Sam Mustipher, right, put Alex Barrs at right guard, moved Cody out to left guard after James Daniel went down also early in the season, and they did have success. And to your point, you know, Mully, when I played against the worst nose guards in the league, I was really dominant. So to your point, yes, that is when they play well, but they know that also. They know what their numbers is against good defense and against bad defenses, right? And they didn't play bad defenses last year during that stretch. They played the worst defenses in the NFL. That's just honest when they went on their run, right? And the two times they played Green Bay, and then when they played New Orleans in the playoff game, their problems resurfaced again. And I don't know the exact numbers right now of that New Orleans playoff game running the ball, but they didn't do very well. New Orleans had a very good defense against the run, but it's something they need to shore up. But they have a lot of problems there when you talk about the offensive line getting better. They have to decide what they want to be run-wise, what they want to be offensive scheme-wise. Is it laser? Is it Coach Nagy's? Are they an outside zone? Are they an inside zone? Are they a zone read? Are they an RPO scheme? So last year, it seemed to me, watching the film, they were going back and forth. When Mitch Trubisky was in at quarterback, they wanted to go to more of a Kyle Shanahan-type scheme, outside zone, boot Mitch Trubisky, play action. When Nick Foles was at quarterback, they went to an RPO zone read, what he did for the Philadelphia Eagles under Brian, when Brian DeFilippo was there as quarterback coach. Obviously, Brian DeFilippo now the Bears quarterback coach. So for an offensive lineman, I can tell you that can get hard sometimes, that you're running different schemes, you're trying to learn on the run, and when the offense doesn't really know what they are, well, how do they expect the offensive line and our quarterbacks or wide receivers or tight ends or anybody to be good at what they do? There's really no consistency.
That's an excellent point. We'll revisit that a little bit later. We're going to shift gears and talk some Cubs next. We're going to bring in Russ Dorsey now with the Sun-Times. It's Mully and Haw. We have Olin Krutz with us here on the Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.